thanks for joining me today on Quiet Time Coaching. It's episode 110. And we're talking today a bit more about the Beatitudes. We're continuing our series on the Beatitudes, and we've reached Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. It reads, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." So what does it mean that mourners will be comforted, and how is this connected with the kingdom of heaven, which is so much the theme of the Beatitudes and a whole sermon on the Mount for that matter? So in this series, we're immersing ourselves in these Beatitudes. That's chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 3 to 12. And I'm trying to figure out what each Beatitude means. What does it mean for me and for us practically? And in particular, in these recordings, how does their teaching affect our relationship with God? In particular, our times of quiet with God, our exercise of the spiritual disciplines. What do these Beatitudes mean for life, but what do they also mean for our personal times with God? And that's on my mind for lots of reasons, but in particular because I'm preparing a teaching and preaching series for the Thames Valley Churches of Christ, as well as a teaching day for the Watford Church of Christ, which should be on February the 29th, if you want to mark your diary for next year, somewhere in Watford. Venue still to be confirmed, but the 29th of February is the goal, and that'll be on the Sermon on the Mount, including a section on the Beatitudes. But today, back to today. Join me today as I examine, as I try and tease out and unpack what it means to mourn and to be comforted, and what that means for our times of quiet with God. So first of all, just to think about the overview of what's going on here. This is the second of the Beatitudes, the first one being about being poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It seems to follow naturally from that one, doesn't it? When we recognize our poverty, our spiritual poverty, and the poverty of the world for that matter, well, it does cause us to mourn. Some might ask whether mourning is appropriate for a Christian. I mean, shouldn't we be people characterized by joy? I mean, certainly we're offered the joy of Jesus. John 15, verse 11, he said we could have his joy within us. But Christians aren't called to a kind of perpetual glib smile, something superficial. Let's think about Jesus. I mean, he shed tears, didn't he? He wept. Plenty of experiences in my life, and I'm sure yours as well, make tears appropriate. It would be inappropriate not to cry at times. So we are promised joy, yeah. But a joy, or in this context, perhaps a blessedness, that comes from the Spirit. It's one part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22. So it comes from the Spirit. It's not something we manufacture or can conjure up. So, mourning and comfort. So let's take a deeper look at these two words, mourn and comfort. So he says that those who mourn will be comforted. What kind of mourning is Jesus thinking about here? That's, I suppose, the place to start. And perhaps we should first of all consider what it may not be. I do not believe that when he says we are blessed if we mourn, he's talking about some kind of groveling self-pity. There's nothing in the Bible to indicate Jesus thought that that was a healthy thing to do. What God made was good, and in so many ways still is good. He declared it to be so in Genesis chapter 1. Damaged, certainly, but not irredeemable, and not evil, and not in essence malevolent, but with the potential for great good. So it's not about that sort of self-pity and self-condemnation. It's also, though, not about a kind of, how should we put it, a religiousness that moans about the state of the world. And I have to say, this is where sometimes what I see on Twitter and Facebook actually really annoy me, as people of Christian faith or supposed Christian faith use their opportunity on social media to just point the finger, to condemn, to rail against the world, which is actually usually the politician they dislike, is actually what happens a lot of the time. We've got to be careful with that. We've got to be careful about pointing at the world with an attitude of condemnation, as in God hates this, God hates that, which is really saying God hates you, which is really us saying I hate you. But it's not about God. Because let's face it, if we condemn the world, surely we're also really condemning ourselves. We're no less worthy of condemnation than any at whom we might point. So no, I don't think mourning is about saying, oh, the world's terrible, oh, this is that terrible. So what kind of mourning might Jesus have in mind? Because the world is in a bad state. There's no question about that. But let's think about this for a moment. Okay, firstly, personally. So on a personal level, it's actually a healthy thing to mourn our sin. I'll give you some references rather than read them now and put them in the show notes so you can check them out later. But take, for example, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, or Romans chapter 7, verse 24, Ezra chapter 10, verse 1, or Acts 2, 36, or 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2, or 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, or chapter 12, verse 21. Sure, mourning our own sin is okay. Our sin hurts God, let's face it. It hurts ourselves, and it hurts other people. There are times when it's appropriate not only to acknowledge our sin, and that's a good thing, but to go one step further and to mourn over it, and to mourn over the consequences of our own sin. Indeed, that's the kind of mourning which accompanies repentance. We'll come on to that a bit more later. So mourning about our own sin, yes. And also, I think it's okay to join Jesus in mourning over the consequences of sin for other people, as in Luke 19:41, where he weeps over Jerusalem. But that's because of the consequences of their sin. Many people in the Old Testament also wept in that kind of way. Psalm 119, verse 136, Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, and the Apostle Paul mourned in that kind of way. Philippians 3, verse 18, and, well, quite a lot of Romans chapter 7. So that's mourning, not groveling self-pity, not religiousness condemning the world, but mourning our own sin and mourning the consequences of other people's sins for themselves and the world. Now, let's move on to comfort. I like comfort, don't you? It's nice to be comforted. I remember my mother comforting me when I was 3 or 4 years old and I'd fallen off my tricycle. And she bandaged up my skin that had been torn a bit and bleeding, and she put a plaster on there, and I was only 3 or 4, but I still remember it to this day, one of my earliest memories of my mother comforting me as I was crying, having fallen off my tricycle. Well, I think we're talking about something a bit deeper here. See, only when we truly mourn our own sin can we be truly comforted by God's forgiveness. Mourning seems to lead to repentance. Perhaps it's also a sign of repentance. I think that would be accurate to say. And that repentance leads to what? To rejoicing. And there's some comfort in the rejoicing, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. You see, if we understand sin properly and understand grace properly, we will both mourn deeply and rejoice greatly. As somebody has said, and I'm going to paraphrase, I don't remember the exact words, but if we want to see great rejoicing in our lives, perhaps we need to see some more mourning over our sin. One of the Messiah's jobs, according to Isaiah 61 and chapter 40, verse 1, was to be the comforter who would bind up the brokenhearted. Yes, the brokenhearted. The mourning leads to comfort because our awareness and acceptance and mourning over our sin leads to repentance. Then we're bound up as brokenhearted people by the Messiah, the Comforter. Now, some of the promised comfort seems to be available now, and some looks like it's coming later. Let's talk about now, and let's talk about later. The now is exemplified by what happens to the shepherds in the fields in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. An angel comes and tells them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." There's joy coming, he says. It's coming in the here and now. And Jesus tells his followers in Luke 12, verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." So that's coming now. Look forward to that. This is coming. The kingdom is here. Now, these are words of comfort connected to the promise of the one who would bring what Simeon was waiting for in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So the comfort to Israel and the comfort to the people of God is coming, and indeed through Christ has now come. We live in the presence of that joy, in the experience of that joy now, that we have good news of our salvation and of putting, the world is being put right. The kingdom is here. But there's also a later component, isn't there? There is a gap. There is a gap, at least in my experience, and I expect in yours, between a measure of comfort we receive now and are receiving now, and the ultimate fulfillment of comfort which comes in the next life, as in Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There's some comfort coming, but that's not now. That's coming later in the next life. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Our tears are wiped away now, but there's more coming. As long as we're alive, there's going to be some more, but there will come a time when every tear is wiped away from our eyes, and then that's it. It's all done. The tension between the here and the now is expressed well by Paul as he writes to the Romans, and he says in Romans 8, verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So yes, suffering now, mourning now, but glory is coming. He's talking there about the next life. The Word Biblical Commentary sums up Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 rather well. So let me quote one of their summary statements, which I think does justice to the whole verse. It reads like this. Those who mourn do so because of the seeming slowness of God's justice. But they are now to rejoice, even in their troubled circumstances, because their salvation has found its beginning. The time draws near when they shall be comforted. Revelation 7:17 and chapter 21, verse 4. That time is coming. The time draws near when they shall be comforted, but they are already to be happy in the knowledge that the kingdom has arrived. Their salvation is at hand. Well, I certainly couldn't have put it better than that. So let's finally talk about application. Application. How can this beatitude of mourning and being comforted find its appropriate application to our times of quiet with God? It has application for many aspects of our lives. But what about our times of quiet with God? Perhaps your next prayer time. Well, let me give you four possible applications that occur to me for our times of prayer, and then I'm sure you can think of others. But here are four. Firstly, if we're going to mourn and be comforted, firstly, we must connect in our prayer times, connect with the consequences of sin in your life. Connect with the consequences of sin in your life. Talk to God about any recent sin that's on your heart or your conscience. Not to dwell on it, not to wallow in self-pity, not to enjoy some kind of perverse, weirdly inappropriate, enduring guilt, but to create a soberness, a reminder of the need for God's grace, which will result in a thankfulness and gratitude for the kindness, patience, and mercy of our Abba Father through Jesus, his Son, our Redeemer King. So firstly, connect with the consequences of sin in your own life. Secondly, connect with the consequences of sin in this world. Connect with the consequences of sin in this world. Not, as we spoke about earlier, to condemn the world, but to stimulate urgency in your prayers for God's intervention. To stimulate urgency in your prayers for God's intervention. What does that mean? It means checking the news at least often enough to know what's going on and what to pray about. You don't have to be a news hound, but at least know what's going on so that you can, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, pray for kings and all those in authority, as well as situations in your own town, your country, or the world where you find significant tension, disharmony, or pain. One thing I do is once a week I check the Watford Observer website, the local newspaper, just to see what's going on and connect with local themes and local needs. So firstly, connect with the consequences of sin in your own life. Secondly, connect with the consequences of sin in this world. Thirdly, connect with the promise of comfort provided in the here and now. The here and now. Connect with the promise of comfort provided in the here and now by the Holy Spirit, John chapter 16, verse 7. Rejoice in prayer, thanking God that the Spirit of Jesus is with you today. Yes, even today as you listen to this, today. And that you can trust in his comforting promise from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. That sounds like people who are mourning. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Doesn't that sound like comfort? Comforting? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Connect with the promise of comfort provided in the here and now by Jesus, the Holy Spirit there. And fourthly, connect with the promise of comfort still to come. Connect with the promise of comfort still to come. Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Hear that? There's a time coming when there will be no more mourning. Now it's appropriate to mourn and we will be comforted, but there will be time when there will be no more mourning and we will be ultimately completely fulfilled in our comfort of all the comfort we need, because there will be no more tears. So pray. Spend part of your prayer time in joyful anticipation, looking forward to the fulfillment of that promise. Mourning and comfort go together. They are spiritually compatible and healthy. Let's be sure we're not trying to create our own comfort instead of allowing God to be our comforter on the basis of a commitment to mourning. What difference might it make to your times of quiet with God to incorporate some regular mourning? Perhaps it would bring you a greater, a fuller, a more powerful experience of God's comfort. That sounds like a good thing. So please let me know what you learned from incorporating some mourning into your devotional times with your Heavenly Father. Perhaps some mourning in the morning. And then you'll experience prayerfully that comfort that's promised. I'd love to know what your experience is of all that. Well, I'm going to wrap up in just a moment, but briefly, as of the day of recording, I just want to give us a update on the Wait for the Lord retreat that I'm organizing in March next year. Registration is open to all now. I opened it up, first of all, to my website subscribers, newsletter subscribers, but now registration is open to everybody. The retreat is on the 27th to the 29th of March, 2020. You can find details now on a dedicated page on my website. I put up a page specifically about the retreat, and all the details are on there, the dates, the times, the cost, details about the location, and so on. And there is some more information in previous podcasts. There are 17 places, but 6 of them have gone. Only 11 remain as of the day of recording, which is Thursday, the 17th of October. So if you'd like to come, I'd encourage you to drop me a line urgently because I don't know how quickly the places are going to go, but if there are only 11 left, then they could go soon. So if you'd be interested to come, drop me a line, email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can contact me via social media or through the website, and I'll let you know how you can make payment, and then we can book you in, make sure you've got your place secure. So that's coming up soon. As I would always say, please leave your comments on this week's topic and leave it publicly, because then we learn from each other, and we learn best when we're learning in community. And if you know anybody who might like this recording, then please pass the link on to them. And in particular, I would just encourage us, if you wouldn't mind, to leave me a review wherever you get your podcast from, because that is not only comforting to me, but it is also a way to raise the profile of these podcasts, which means that search engines pick them up. More high up the listings, and then more people might get to know about them. Well, I do hope that you found today's reflection on Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 helpful. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but if you're going through a time of mourning, then I pray that you would also find the comfort of God. And if you're not finding much mourning in your life right now, then maybe I should encourage you to mourn a little more, because then you'll experience the comfort of God somewhat more also. Thanks so much for being with me. Thanks so much for listening. Until the next time, take care and God bless.